I want to give maybe a quick testimony. A couple weeks ago when we went to Tim and Paige's wedding, on the way home, we were, driving on the freeway with our van, and the temperature was kind of cold, and there was some drizzle, I think, falling, and maybe some rain at times, kind of drizzly rain. And we were passing a semi, and all of a sudden our van started fishtailing towards that semi. And thank the Lord, the van came out of that fishtail and went into another one, kind of going towards the side of the road. And thank the Lord, the van straightened out. And just thank the Lord for safety. We never know. And I think I saw the next day on the internet there that somebody had, actually it was that night around 9 o'clock, I think a girl from Brookfield died on I-90-94 right around New Lisbon. Actually I think a car had run into a semi and like a wheel or something fell off the semi, and there was, a multi-vehicle, I believe, accident, and unfortunately a girl died in that accident from the Brookfield area, I believe. So just wanted to thank the Lord for that. If you could take your Bibles tonight, turn to Hosea chapter 12. Hosea 12, we looked at briefly some of these verses the last time. We're going to look at some of them a little bit more in depth tonight. Hosea 12, verses, we looked at specifically verses 7 and 8 last time. And we also looked at the last verse, some, 14, briefly mentioned maybe some things in the in between verses, but verses 9 through 13 and also 14 tonight of Hosea chapter 12. I guess I entitled my message tonight, Retreat or Revival. So now the sound booth doesn't have to wonder what they're going to put on it. So, Retreat or Revival, what is it going to be in your life? For Israel, it was retreat. They went backwards, and it brought destruction to their lives. Verse 9, it says, "And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast." Now this verse here gave me a little bit of, challenge, trying to figure out exactly what was going on here. We'll look at it in a little bit. Verse 10, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep." All right, so Laban lived in Syria. That's where Jacob went to get a wife. 13, "And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him." Then I'm going to read one verse from Hosea 13. "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died." We find here that Israel, instead of returning to the roots upon which their nation was founded upon, instead of returning to the God that had delivered them from Israel, they retreated to the false gods of the land in which surrounded them, and they were brought to destruction. If we are going to have revival in our lives, instead of spiritual retreat, we could also call it spiritual backsliding. in Hosea, God refers to them, I believe, as a backsliding heifer. There are some things that are going to have to take place in our lives. And the first one is we need to remember our spiritual heritage. If you go to the book of Revelations, what is one of the things that God commands some of the different churches? I think of one command. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and what? Repent. Remembrance is a very important thing in our lives. We need to remember our spiritual heritage. In verse number 9, it says, verse 7 and 8 talks about the sin, verse 7, that they have. Verse 8, Ephraim says they're fine. Verse 9, God says, and I that am the Lord thy God from where? From the land of Egypt. God reminds them from whence they came. Will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the sound feast. So we had the feast of the tabernacles, the feast of booths. Now, in this verse, verse 9, tabernacles is the word for tent, where booths was, I think, more of the idea of like a makeshift shelter that they would erect with maybe palm branches or olive branches or different things during the feast of booths. All right, so it says, I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles. So this is something in the future. Now, I guess maybe the one thing that was, you know, would might jog your mind a little bit is, okay, in this verse it refers to it as tabernacles instead of using the word booths. All right, then it says, as in the days of the solemn feast. So God is, the Lord is referring to this feast that Israel was commanded to keep. Now, what was this feast all about? What did this feast remind them of? Well, it reminded them of God's deliverance from the land of Egypt. But this feast was something that would require faith, would remind them maybe of their humble beginnings, of what God had done. You know, for the nation of Israel, for a period of days to dwell in these makeshift booths, you know, think in a sense of really the faith that would require on their behalf to leave their houses, to enter into these dwellings that really would not have been very secure. But in order to do this, obviously, they had to obey. They had to believe God. And it's interesting that this is one of the feasts that Israel did not obey God completely in. This is one of the feasts that they did not obey God to the maybe full degree that He would want them to. Now we find, if you read about Solomon and dedicating the temple, it talks about him celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, and he talks about sacrifices that he offered for the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's interesting, if you go to Nehemiah, and they were kind of, I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. I was going to talk about this second point, but we'll talk about it now. Nehemiah 8. Notice what it says here in Nehemiah verses 8, verses 13 through 17. All right, here they're reading out of the book of the law. All right, end of verse 12, I'll just read that. It says, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. So it is amazing what happens when you read God's word. All right, you find out what you should be doing. And that's why it's important to read all of God's word, Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on something that God has for you. And here is something that the children of Israel were missing out on. It's like they didn't even have knowledge of it. Well, what could be one of the reasons why they didn't have knowledge of what they were supposed to do? Well, obviously somebody along the line stopped doing it. And so they didn't know about it. You know, remember when, you know, Josiah, they found a book of the law in the temple, and they began reading it, and he's like, "Whoa, look at what we're supposed to do. Look at what's going to come down upon us because we haven't been obeying." So we find the importance here of God's Word. So it says they found out what they're supposed to do, and they found written in the law of the Lord, commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written." So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. Now listen to this part of the verse. "For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness." Notice what this obedience brought. Well, it brought gladness. But notice that. It says, "For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so." So there may have been some celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, but the full implementation of what God had commanded to do had not been done. And they had probably not been fully, in a sense, maybe reminded of what God had done to them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Maybe the humility that was involved in dwelling in these makeshift booths, so to speak. Now it says some of them were on the roofs of their houses. But the dwelling in a makeshift shelter. You know, imagine the king of Israel leaving his palace and for a period of night sleeping in one of these makeshift tents, so to speak. You know, imagine one of the nobility. You know, can you imagine King Ahab leaving his palace and sleeping in one of these? For some reason, it just doesn't seem to jive too well. And obviously, he may have been out in battle and sleeping in some sort of tent. But, you know, there was probably some humility involved in following out this command. But it was also, this feast was a feast that followed the Day of Atonement, was a feast of gladness, rejoicing. You know, God had delivered them from Egypt. So it was something they were to do, but it was something that they had left out of their history. And it very well could have been something that would have reminded them, maybe of their days, you know, traveling through the wilderness, reminding them, maybe bringing thoughts back of how God had brought deliverance to their land. So the children of Israel, God said, someday you are going to dwell in tabernacles. This was something that was going to happen. God refers to himself, I'm trying to find my way back to Hosea here. Hosea chapter 14, he says, "I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt." All right, now there is a lot in that statement, "from the land of Egypt." God's deliverance and power. You know, the Red Sea, the Amalekites, God's sustenance and compassion, the manna, providing them water, their clothes, their shoes not wearing out. He had been their God from the land of Egypt. You know, if there's going to be revival in our lives, we need to remember our spiritual heritage. We need to remember what God has accomplished in our lives. You know, history is important. We need to, you know, God is in this, maybe reminding of His revelation and the relationship that He had with them. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 8 through 9. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Then turn over to chapter 19. Verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So notice that. Verse 4. Have you seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself? And he says here in Hosea, I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. We need to remember who is our God. You know, Psalm 78, a familiar psalm to us. If you could turn there, please, though. Psalm 78. What was Israel to do throughout their history? What was one of the things that was to keep them faithful to God? What was the key to passing on, you know, their faithfulness to God to the next generation? It says in verse 4, they're almost start at the beginning, but we'll start in verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now, one way they can do this is by following the different feasts that God had in place. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Obviously, one way is through the giving of the law, reading the law of God. That's what happened there in Nehemiah. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So notice that. Who should arise and declare them to their children? Well, obviously, somewhere along the line, that had been broken. And the parents had not arisen and declared it to the next generation like they should. Even the Feast of Tabernacles was a specific example of how they hadn't passed it on to the next generation. And there was something that God intended for them to do, but it wasn't done. And who knows how it might have contributed to the downfall of that nation. God said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, maybe tonight you need to remember the spiritual blessings of God in your life. Maybe tonight you need to remind yourself of your salvation and what God did in your life. Maybe on a country level or a national level, You know, maybe you were saved later in life and you were brought up in a system that didn't teach history correct. You know, maybe you need to get a history book out written from a Christian perspective. In our nation, you need to be reminded of the spiritual heritage that we have. You know, in a church, sometimes in institutions, what happens? Well, people don't really know their the beginnings. You know, in our own church, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, the people that know about what happened at the founding of our church, you know, the battles that were fought, you know, what's going to happen when that's forgotten? You know, is somebody else going to arise and certain things aren't so important anymore? Forgetting maybe some of the battles that were fought over certain issues? No, we need to remember the heritage that we have. Israel had forgotten the God that had rescued them from the slavery of Egypt, that had brought them through the wilderness, the one in which their shoes, He preserved their shoes from wearing out, from walking through the wilderness, the one who had provided manna for them every morning, the one who turned bitter water into sweet water. He was their God. They needed to remember their heritage. But also we see in this passage that they needed to realize God's sovereign control and ordering of events. Now, when we think about the sovereignty of God, we can maybe respond in one of two ways. You know, we can either see it as, well, God's going to accomplish His will, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, if that's your attitude, you're going to be on the wrong side. You're going to be on the judgment side of God. Or you can either see God's plan and what He is going to accomplish, and you could submit to that plan and His ordering of events and experience His blessing. It says here, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the land of Egypt. And then it says something that He's going to do. He says, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles. Now it could be that Ephraim here needed to experience some humility. Notice verse 8. Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. Ephraim had become lifted up in its pride, thinking of his own personal greatness. And God tells them that they are going to dwell in tabernacles. But in a sense, there's also a positive to this. And it says, as in the days of the solemn feast. Okay, this solemn feast was not a feast of sorrow. All right, this was a feast of joy. All right, if we turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 16. Notice how this feast was a feast of a joyous time. It says here, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Notice that, in the place which the Lord shall choose. You know, the people, they wanted to worship God in their own place, the northern 10 tribes. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. You know, they wanted to probably take the credit for themselves. Maybe they wanted to ascribe it to these false gods. Hosea chapter 2, you know, they wanted to take some of the things that God had given them and use it in the worship of these false gods. But the Feast of Tabernacles is about recognizing that what we have experienced is from the Lord. But it was a time of blessing because God had blessed them. So it says here, now where did I stop reading? Because the Lord thy God, middle of verse 15, shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Three times in a year shall all the males, I might have stopped reading at the wrong place. But anyways, this was a time of rejoicing. It was a time to come and recognize that the Lord was the one that had blessed them. Just to give a little more idea of this feast, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. Verse number 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So we see it was to remind them of the fact that God had brought them out of Israel. Remind them it was the Lord that had blessed them. And now Israel has turned from God. Maybe they think they're going to experience blessing, but they're not. But someday in the future, God, in His sovereign control and ordering of events, is going to make them to dwell in booths again. And it's interesting, a quote I read, it says, God would give them a new deliverance, but out of a new captivity. And this deliverance that they were going to experience was going to occur, but it was going to be out of a new captivity. Now, are we going to respond to God, or are we going to have to go through a captivity, so to speak, in our lives before we can experience His power? Now, here in this instance, it was going to be another generation, a future generation that was going to experience this blessing. You know, just think of how many generations in the nation of Israel have been lost. How many of them have died, gone to the lake of fire because of decisions that were made in the past? Now, obviously, every man is accountable for himself. But I think of that illustration of the missionary there in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, our missionaries there. And, you know, the people come, you know, why didn't you tell us earlier? Well, there was somebody way back in their history that rejected God, and it brought darkness to that society. And, you know, here in Israel, yes, there was going to be future blessing. God has not cast off the Jews. They are still His people. And someday, there is going to be a day of rejoicing. You know, if you go to Zechariah chapter 14, this is one of the feasts that is going to be instituted. in the future. And in fact, it's not just going to be the nation of Israel that's going to be celebrating it. Verse 16 of Zechariah 14, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the what? The Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." All right, and so in the future this is going to take place. And those that aren't going to obey God, there's going to be a punishment for their actions. But again, there is going to be a future deliverance of Israel, but it's going to be out of a new captivity. You know, we need to realize that God is sovereign, and He does order events. And what He has said will come to pass. You know, either we can submit to Him, we can follow His plan, we can obey His laws, and we can have cause for rejoicing, or we can go our own direction. You know, when the people read the law of God in Nehemiah, what did it bring? It brought gladness. It brought joy as they submitted themselves and as they obeyed the laws that they heard. But not only do we need to realize God's sovereign control and His ordering of events, we need to respond to God's clear message. What does it say in the next verse? It says, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." The problem was not that God had not made His message clear. The problem was that Israel did not respond. You know, if we are going to have revival instead of retreat, we must respond to God's clear message. We can't make the excuse that we didn't know God's will when God gave it to us in His Word. When God has allowed us to be able to sit under the preaching of God's Word and hear His messengers deliver that Word. So God had spoken by the prophets. He had multiplied visions. He had used similitudes. There was things that He would liken them unto. Use illustrations to portray. We talked about that some last time. The empty, you know, the wild vine that they were. God would use different things to help them to understand what His will was. But Israel did not respond. Israel's success was hinged to their obedience to God and His prophets. But they did not listen. Then God once again, well, verse 11, He declares their sin. "Is there iniquity in Gilgal, in Gilead?" You know, I remember what they said. Ephraim said, "Yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin." Here he says, he refers to Gilead and Gilgal. I believe they're places both west and east of the Jordan here. So, kind of, I believe, referring to both sides. "Their iniquity in Gilead, surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields." You know, they're all over the place. Their sin was obvious, but they didn't see it. You know, how it is with us many times. You know, our sin is obvious, but fortunately we don't see it. We've become blinded to it. You know, we get so accustomed to the society in which we live, we have become worn down, so to speak, that we no longer see it. And the society that Israel was in, you know, the apostasy that was surrounding them really took their sensitivity towards the things of God, and it was gone. I mean, they didn't even see themselves as sinners. But yeah, God's looking down and saying, their idolatry's all over, these false altars are all over the place. It's obvious. I mean, they sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. You know, this isn't a turtle dove. You know, this is a bullock. This is a big animal. It's not hard to see. Then he reminds them, verse 12, back of their roots. Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. Now, one thing about this verse, it could have been God, you know, the Lord reminding Jacob of what he did to get a godly wife. You know, he could have been like his brother, just taking people from around him. But instead, he was willing to travel in obedience to his father, to a country, and there get a wife. Now, obviously, we know some of the story, and things didn't necessarily work out perfectly. But Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. So we find Moses. How many, you know, there's a prophet that God used to bring Israel out of Egypt, a prophet that he used to preserve them. And now remember what it said there in verse number 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, plural. And yet Israel in their beginnings, there was one prophet, Moses, that God used to bring them out of Egypt, to lead them through the wilderness, and God used them, but now they have multiple prophets and they aren't listening, aren't responding. And you think of today and the age in which we live, we have so much truth, but yet we have so little response today to what God is seeking to do. You know, we have so much opportunity. These people in Hosea's day, they had so much opportunity. God sent them the prophets. You know, you think of Elijah. Think of Elisha. Think of some of these prophets that God sent. Think of the work that God did. They had the Word of God. They could have read about what God did, but yet they did not respond. And they provoked the God of Israel. So if we are going to have revival instead of retreat, we must respond to God's message. You know, if we're going to have revival, we don't need to sit there and wait for some big feeling to come over us. You know, we need to just take the truth that we know to be right and start obeying it and start doing it. And here, Israel wasn't going to do it. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. We need to recognize our sin and the sure results of it if we're going to experience revival in our lives. Do we recognize that we can't mess around with sin and think it's going to produce something else than what the Bible has said it's going to produce in our lives? You know, so many times young people think they can do their own thing, they can go their own way, and things are going to be okay. But you know what? It's going to happen. What God's Word says. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. All that sin was going to come right back home to roost. And they were going to experience the results of the decisions that they had made. You know, I wonder tonight, do we recognize our sin? There are sure results. It's going to come. Are we going to respond to God's clear message? Are we going to realize God's sovereign control and His ordering of events. Remember our spiritual heritage will hopefully motivate us to live in accordance with the will and the plan of God. Have you forgotten tonight how God rescued you in your sin? Have you forgotten what God saved you from? Young people, you know, maybe you need your parents to remind you of their salvation so that you are afraid of going down the pathway that God saved them from. You know, we need to be reminded of what God has rescued us from. And we need to be willing to recognize the sure plan of God and what His Word says will come to pass. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word that You've given to us. Lord, I pray tonight that if there's anyone here tonight that's retreating, Lord, that they would stop that retreat and that their heart and life might be revived, Lord, by recognizing their sin, by remembering, Lord, what You did once in their lives and how You're working. Lord, I pray that they would realize, Lord, Your sovereign control. And they can think they can go down their own way, but Lord, You are still ordering the events of their life. And the choices that they make, they may be able to make choices, but the consequences, they won't be able to choose. Lord, I just pray that You would enable us to follow Your plan. Lord, because without You, we can do nothing. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, we didn't preach on salvation tonight, but you know, the key is salvation. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the only way of victory tonight. Say, you know, Pastor John, I'm not sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior tonight. And the Lord is speaking to my heart about my need of salvation by faith. Is there anyone like that tonight, Lord, speaking your heart about your need of salvation? All right. I wonder tonight, you know, is the Lord working in your life tonight, believer? Have you been retreating? Have you forgotten what God did? Have you forgotten that He is your God? That He rescued you? Has the Lord spoken to your heart tonight? You know, it's the new year. Hopefully everyone is faithful in their devotions right now. You know, but maybe your devotions have, you haven't really been meeting with God. You haven't really been reminded. You know, maybe it's something else. There's something the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. May you get that right with Him tonight. So instead of retreating, you can go forward. Maybe tonight, young person, you're involved in something and you need to realize what that is going to bring in your life. God's warning you. Lord, help us to respond tonight. Lord, help us to use this as an opportunity to protect our lives, Lord, from something that would harm us spiritually. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.